Welcome back. Matters arising within the end time message. In addition to the scripture I quoted earlier, another scripture says, study to show thyself approved unto God. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Matters arising from within the message.
In fact, when we chose the topic, matter arising, I would be thinking maybe there are soft issues. But I have a quote. I would like to quote first from William Branham.
We have a message.
Yes.
No, I want your amen on that. We have a message.
Amen.
Pastor, we have a message.
Amen.
Okay, let me hear you.
We have a message. Yeah.
Well, let me read from a quote by the Samuel William Branham. Question and answer. This was in 1964, August 23rd. He says, if there is anything, so help me. If there is anything that you should know that God will tell me, God knows I will tell you just exactly. And don't add to it or take away from it. Just do it just the way I say it. See? Because I'm telling you from my heart the best that I know. See? You just believe that. Just take what I say about it and just leave it. Go like that. All right. Here's another quote, sir. This is also from 1963. And this was done, it was a sermon preached in March 17th. He says, so now listen to every word, catch it. And if I'm talking it on tape or anything, then you say, stay right with tape teaching. Don't say nothing what the tape says. Just say just exactly what the tape says. See? Now, because some of those things we're going to understand a whole lot about now, it's misunderstood, see? And you'll be sure, just say what the tape says. Let me unquote here. But the question that comes to my mind is, was William Brown misunderstood when he says, say what the tape say? Is there a confusion?
In addition to the quotes Gabriel has recited,
yes.
I have another quote from 1963. That's God hiding himself in simplicity, March 17th morning. That's paragraph 106 for those that might be interested in getting the statement. It says, just say exactly what the tape says. Just say exactly what the tape says. And today in the entire message cycle, we have some who believe you must just recite.
That's all you need to say. You don't need to open. Because from this quote, they say, just say it like that. Tape teaching. Was it misunderstood?
I remember, pardon me, sir, before we allow you answer these questions.
Yes.
I remember in 2012, we attended a church at Ebute-Metta, Lagos.
Yeah.
And the sermon was it was a tape service.
The
sermon
service
that day was just from the tape of William Branham. That was all we had that day. We didn't hear any preacher coming to preach anything for us. So is he, I don't understand, sir. When he says, say what the tape says. Because we're talking salvation here. How do we balance it? Say what the tape says. First question, is William Branham infallible?
Let's start first with, was he misunderstood?
No. Is he misunderstood? Is he infallible? And what does he mean by saying
what the tape says?
So the first question I want to answer now is he infallible? When you begin to ask that type of question, then you, even asking that question, you have a problem. Because let every man be
a liar.
And let God be
true.
Only when you say infallibility, that is one that cannot, the estate of you being so perfect, you cannot make a mistake. But every human being is fallible.
Okay, so
you are prone to make mistake. That's why we are human beings. And so far, only God cannot make mistake because of his attributes. He's omniscient, all-knowing.
Amen.
So before it happens, he's already aware. So how can he make a mistake? So he is the only one. Only God is
infallible.
And if you say a man is infallible, that is, you are actually saying he is God. And that is blasphemous.
Okay.
That would be wrong.
All right. So was he misunderstood
now,
in any way?
That's the second question.
Yes, sir.
And a capital Yes. The generality of the followers of William Branham. The generality of the followers of William Branham fall under this mystery I have been trying to explain. A lot of us must know it. In Romans chapter 11, I've said it several times, and very few will catch this. When Apostle Paul was trying to talk about the salvation of Israel and how that Israel is cut off from the good vine, from the good olive tree.
That's right.
Olive produces oil, right?
Yes, sir.
Oil is the Holy Ghost, right?
Yes, sir.
Where is the tree that produces the Holy Ghost? That is Christ.
Amen.
For he's the one that baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire.
Amen.
So he is, therefore, symbolically, the tree of life from.
Amen.
Okay, so from him, the Holy Ghost comes forth. But the mystery of the salvation of the Gentiles, which we see in Ephesians chapter 3, Apostle Paul spoke about the mystery that was hid from the foundation of the world, but now revealed to his servants. What is that mystery? It's the mystery of the Gentiles who are grafted, verse 24, contrary to nature.
Amen.
And I will continue to hammer this because this revelation was given to me personally by God himself.
Amen.
And it means so much to me because it cleared all the confusion I was having concerning what was going on in this end time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you discover that he says, for if thou wert cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature, that is the Gentiles.
That's right.
And wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree. The word there is being grafted contrary to nature.
Yes, sir.
That is the mystery.
Hallelujah.
It means naturally, to be grafted naturally. The tree that is brought forth, the branch cut off from a wild
olive tree,
wild one. Mm. It's a wild olive tree.
Mm.
You graft it to a good olive tree. Mm. The natural thing, listen very well, because there are some scriptures, we just gloss over.
Mm.
Like we see in John chapter 6, Jesus said, you follow me, not because of the miracle. But because of the bread that you ate.
Yes.
Mm. You will suspect that it's because of the miracle they are following him. He's saying they are not following because of the miracle. Is that not confusing?
Very.
Do you understand? That is why we are to study and understand what he means.
Mm.
Now, here we are. The natural thing, he said, we are grafted contrary to nature. Mm. That contrary to nature is the mystery of the salvation of Gentiles. Now, when he said contrary, that means now we have to ask, what is the natural thing?
Okay.
Is that when that olive, wild olive branch, you are cut off from that wild olive tree, you are brought to this good olive tree. The natural thing is that when you are grafted, you grow nourished by the good olive tree. But when it is time for you to bring forth fruit, the natural thing is that you will produce the fruit from where you came.
Naturally.
Mm. That is what the mystery or the science of grafting.
Okay.
The natural thing, nature puts it that way, that when it is time for fruit, although you are getting all your nourishment from this good tree, wherever you are coming from, Gentiles, wherever you are coming from, naturally, you can receive all the power, all the nourishment. Mm. All the nourishment from this good tree.
Yes, sir.
That is the problem people don't understand.
Mm.
When Jesus spoke in verse 37 of John chapter 6,
that
all that the Father giveth me shall come to me.
Mm-hmm.
and all that come to me,
I will not wise
cast out.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when you come, you will feed. Whatever you want from him, you will get it. But when it's time to produce the fruit, then it is that time everybody will know where you come from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we'll be wondering, why is Pastor going all this length in this? I'm trying to give you a picture that will solve this mystery of what the confusion in the end time message. Now, you discover that the mystery, what is mysterious about it is that, why is it contrary to nature? You come from a wild tree, grabbed into a good tree. Now, the mystery there is that there is the working of a power that takes place.
Hallelujah.
If you yield yourself to it, there is, now, watch it. But the only people that will yield themselves to it, they are those that the Father brought there.
Okay.
Now, hallelujah. When you come in there, because it says, as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God.
Amen.
And always remember that except the Father draw you, you cannot come to Jesus.
Hallelujah.
But Christ let us know that some will also come to him.
Without the Father.
Yeah, because they know he's very good.
Okay.
And they get all the goodness from him. But when it is time to display their nature, naturally, they will display where they came from. Now, if this end time message is of God, there are these two groups of people that will come.
Those that the Father will draw.
Those that the Father will draw,
okay.
And those that will come on their own.
In the end time message.
That is the followers of the ministry of William Branham.
Wonderful.
Two groups.
Okay.
Now, the purpose of the ministry of William Branham is to remove all the nonsense that has been going on. Idolatry.
Yes, sir.
Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. You know, Christianity without life. You know, where the liberty of the spirit is totally, you know, eroded. Where the children of God, who are supposed to be like eagles, are caged like chickens, in chicken cages. Where people have departed from the faith, the apostolic faith, and instead rather, they now teach for doctrines, commandment of men. Where men have organized themselves and built articles of faith and built wall around themselves and have become denomination. Instead of being identified as Christians, they rather identify with the denomination they come from. So this was the confusion, the departure from the faith. This was the condition that necessitated the restoration ministry.
Amen.
What is it to restore us back to what we see in the Acts of Apostles, what we see in the Bible, in the New Testament church? It was not to create another religion. It is to make us to be Christ-like and be married again to the Bible.
Hallelujah.
To the Word of God.
Yeah.
So these two groups of people are in the entire message, who come instead, they see a man always looking for somebody to idolize. These are idol worshippers that also came in there. They came in on their own. Nobody, it's not God that brought them. If God brought them, then the purpose of the ministry of William Branham, the restoration, would have been fulfilled.
Amen.
How do I know? Do they know anything about the Bible? No. Sermon books. Did God come to give us sermon book? No. He came to return us to the Bible.
Amen.
Did God give us William Branham? No. He gave us Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
But there must be somebody to lead you to Jesus Christ. They are the star messengers.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And if he has led you to Jesus, What are you still doing with the messenger? Eliezer was sent to go and bring Rebecca to Isaac. After Rebecca was united with Isaac, do you hear anything again about Eliezer?
His ministry is fulfilled.
What is the problem at this end time? Who do us this thing like this? Who is the who caused us to reach this level?
Oh my God.
So that is a problem. While you are there, while people are getting worried, it's the same thing, just like when we get worried about, I mean, all the charlatans that have invaded Christianity. And we are saying, why? What happened? What happened? You are looking at Christianity. Even the attempt of God to bring us out of that nonsense has been hijacked again by this same group of, you know, idol worshippers. So when you say, is he misunderstood? Yes. It's misunderstood. Yes. Peter made a comment concerning Paul.
Second Peter chapter 3.
Because, you know, he made that comment concerning Apostle Paul.
Second Peter chapter 3. Now,
yes. That's yes. Good. And let's read it from verse 14.
Okay. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things,
yes.
Be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, yes. Without spot and blameless.
Listen very well, yes.
And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation,
yes.
Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you.
Now, watch verse 16.
As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction.
That's why I love this scripture. There's nothing new happening in the Bible. I mean, the Church of Jesus Christ. Wow. There's nothing in the Bible.
Wow.
Look at it. You know, he said, and count that the long suffering, verse 15, of our Lord is salvation. That's why he's been waiting. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. So statements that William Branham made are hard to be understood. With they that are unlearned, unrevelated, and unstable. They are the ones. Today you believe this. Tomorrow you believe this. You tell them believe this. You believe this. He said, what do they do? They rest. They struggle. They fight. As they do also the other scriptures. And what happens? They do it unto their own destruction. But he added, you therefore,
hallelujah,
beloved, say you know these things before.
Amen. Amen.
Beware, lest you also be led away with the error of the wicked. Fall from your own steadfastness. It's another way of the same Peter saying, give diligence to make your calling and election.
Sure.
What does it mean to be steadfast? It's not to be moved away from the pathway of salvation. God has given us the Bible. All Satan has been interested in doing right from the first church age is to remove this Bible from us. And replace it with creeds and dogmas. And William Branham came, we thought, said the Lord, to put us back to the Bible. The same old serpent came again to remove us from the Bible and gave us sermon books. Since you say you believe William Branham, of course, he will, first and foremost, this is the trick he does. This is the trick. Or this is what he hijacks. And that is the same thing. People who covet followership, that's the first thing they do. They spend so much time speaking about their own ministry, their own ministry, their own ministry, their own ministry. The followers now, the idol, the Satan now will send people. Then before you know what, they magnify what he says concerning his ministry. And then with the aim of idolizing, once that is achieved, then he strikes. You see him, you can't go to God except him. Didn't you hear what he said? Didn't you hear what he said? Am I the one saying it? He's the one that says it. He's the one that says it. So before you know what, they hijack these things and make an idol, and there will always be followers. Anything you rise today, anything, anything you come up today and begin to say, there's somebody that will hail you for it and follow you, rightly or wrongly. If not, how will somebody agree for bomb to tie so that you go and kill, so that when you go to heaven, you will have virgins all around you? You know, even people believe that. So they can believe anything else.
Wow. So William Branham is very misunderstood.
Very, very. In fact, of all the message, star messengers that we identify in the Bible, is the most misunderstood.
Number one, is not infallible.
Yeah. How can you even ask that question? Can you say it's not fallible?
Of course, sir. You're saying, how can you ask that question? When you hear message believers ask you, or say statements like, make statements like, William Branham is my absolute.
That statement is part of the statement they establish as a foundation for idolization, to idolize him. It's part of the terminologies they use. It's part of the game. Remember, this is about indoctrination.
That's true.
You know, once your psyche is put, you know, to look at a man with that has some degree of link to God, and you are, remember that man's problem is how to get to God.
Very correct.
Since the Garden of Eden episode that separated man from God.
That's right.
So, and God himself knew that if the only way man generally is looking for a man to follow is something they can see, he's a spirit. He's a spirit. So once there is anybody with some supernatural ability around him, they will follow him. Once there is a man with a supernatural ability, they will follow him. That's what produced all the religions on earth, as the link between him and the supernatural. And God, even if it's an animal that the demon enters and is manifesting something, they will begin to worship it. Yeah. If a particular river, there's some demon that enter there and is doing some supernatural things there, they will immediately, the whole village will come and start worshiping him. People will travel all over the world to come. And so God just thought, as long as I remain a spirit, these people will never get to me.
Give me the worship.
So the best thing is, let me also come as a human being.
Hallelujah.
So he too now gave us another man.
Mystery of God.
With the highest power any human being can have.
Amen.
I gave him a name, Emmanuel.
God.
He is God with us.
Hallelujah.
And he made the claim. And he's the only one that said, destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up.
Amen.
And he's the only religious leader that has died and resurrected according to what he promised.
Amen.
And even above that,
Amen.
He is the only religious leader after resurrection, he said, I am going. I am going. I will come back again to collect you to be with myself.
Amen.
And before their eyes, they saw him taken up.
Amen.
I saw him taken up. And he's the only religious leader that gave a name that when you use my name, this sign will follow them that believe me.
Amen.
And he's the only one in his name. Demons bow, the healings take place.
Hallelujah.
In his name.
In his name, that's right.
In his name. No other name has that power.
Amen.
He did it beyond everything so that our faith will rest on him.
Jesus only.
Jesus only.
Amen. Oh my God.
Now, and this glory he cannot share with anybody.
Amen.
And this Jesus said, I will send servants, laborers to the vineyard. They are those talents he gave us.
That's right.
And how can a servant be acquitted with his master? And this Jesus is not dead, he's alive.
Amen. Amen.
And he's still commissioning his people. He commissioned me.
Amen.
He's still commissioning pastors.
Amen.
When Apostle Paul died, the gospel didn't stop.
At all.
When all those seven church age messengers died, the gospel didn't stop.
At all. Amen.
It still continues.
Amen.
If I die today, God buries his workmen, but his work continues.
Continues. Amen.
We must understand that. You know, it's very painful to see this glorious message hijacked by serpent seeds. you know, these carnal people, so that to make this message unattractive. Nothing more. My brethren, I will build my church.
Amen.
And the gates of hell,
hallelujah,
cannot prevail. We are in an agenda,
amen,
of God, and we are now in the junction of time.
Amen.
God has allowed all this while there has been no voice to fight it. But God now decided to allow people like us who have a platform that everybody can hear,
hallelujah,
to now say it.
Amen.
And I'm going to utilize this platform,
amen,
and say it the best I can.
Amen.
Maybe one day I will just release one soul, just one soul. If I can achieve one soul, then I know the millions of naira we spend every month to, for this broadcast will not be in vain.
Wow.
William Branham's ministry has been misunderstood. William Branham is not the absolute. He is not the absolute.
He's not
infallible at all. But he is a light bearer.
Okay.
He is the star messenger. He is the mouth of God. If that is what you mean by absolute, then, you know, you, the terminology, you may be applying it with a wrong, wrongly, because when you say absolute, then where are you going to place the Bible? Because what God gave an absolute is the reference point of judgment, of knowing what is right and what is wrong. Like the Berean Christian, they had a reference point.
That's right.
And they called it, they were wiser. They were more honorable.
More honorable.
More honorable. Because anything they hear, they have a place
to check.
To check. And whoever comes up today, we don't look at your mighty signs and wonders, your healing, your personal testimony and personal experiences. What are you saying? We come back to the Urim and Tumim. We come back to the only absolute we have that is infallible, for all scripture is given by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost.
So I wanted to add a give a scripture to complement what you're saying.
Yes.
That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 4,
amen,
verse 6.
Yes.
And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes.
Yes.
That ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written.
We are not to think above men, above what?
That.
Think of men.
Above that which is written.
You are not to think of men above that which is written.
Hallelujah.
And it is not written that William Branham is an absolute. It's not written that he's infallible. But he has thus said the Lord. And whatever he says, as thus said the Lord, we are trained as Christians to still go back to the Urim and Tumim. It must flash.
Amen.
If it doesn't flash, then
God has not spoken.
God has not spoken. Whoever it may be.
Wow.
Not only William Branham, whoever it may be. Because even Apostle Paul says, even if an angel. Even if an angel. So you know what that means.
Okay. That's settled it.
Yes.
But still on the question my brother asked. He says, say what the tape says. Say what the tape says.
Now you see, like I say it's misunderstood.
Okay.
Now you see, this Bible, it's a love letter to the bride.
Amen.
To believers.
Amen.
Correct?
Yes,
very
sir.
Correct, sir.
You know, it's not everybody that can understand this Bible.
At all.
That's true, sir.
What you, for instance, read the book of Esther, and you see what lesson God is teaching us, somebody else will be seeing another thing entirely there. What you see in the book of, Ruth,
okay, Ruth.
The story of Ruth.
Yes, sir.
What you see in the book of Esther, the book of Ruth, the story of Joseph.
That's right.
The story of Abraham.
Abraham.
The story of Israel.
That's right.
Even the laws that we are given, and everything, and all that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, the parables he spoke. That was why he spoke them in parables. What you see there, if you don't see something that relates to the salvation of mankind, something is hidden from you.
If all you see is prosperity.
If prosperity, all you see in the Bible,
say it again, sir,
all that you see in these stories in the Old Testament, if you don't see something there as the primary revelation, Rhema, the revelation there, if you don't see something that relates to salvation of mankind, your own personal salvation there, then it is hidden from you.
Man,
but I give the Bible hidden from you.
Now, when you come, when you come to the New Testament, you've not seen that there are everything that has to do that Christ spoke that has to do with his ministry, the reason he came, and what the church will go through. Everything he spoke was in parables.
Mm, very correct. That's true, sir.
But the Bible says, but when he come to his disciples, he will explain it to them.
Mm.
Because there are two groups of people that he's talking to. Some he will cause them to understand. Another, he will leave them in their confusion. Now, I want you to note that the same thing, this is a love letter.
Amen.
When the husband is writing a letter to his wife, I am telling you, any woman that takes that letter to read, there are many things you read there you will not understand. Because it's going to use some codes that only two of them understand.
That's true.
It's going to use some language that only two of them understand.
And
every man has it with his wife if you have a good relationship. So it is, you know, in the Bible. And so also it is with the ministry of William Branham. William Branham did not come for everybody. He came for the bride in this age.
Amen.
Amen.
And there is a spirit of understanding that gives you, and the bride in this is the seventh church age. Therefore, the kind of spirit, the kind of revelation God is going to give us is for home going. The church that was planted on the day of Pentecost, rapture will not take place until that church will die at Nicaea according to the divine agenda. He allowed it. Begin to restore again in Luther, in Wesley, in all the reformers. And finally it will come to the ministry of perfection.
Amen.
And by the time it gets there, when you begin to see what was lost, when you begin to see the perfect picture in word, in doctrine, in character, in power, in love, in Christian generally again, the thing that made them to be called Christians as nickname, when you begin to see the Acts of Apostles and the New Testament in display physically, no more in letter. We are the Word made flesh today. This is what the scripture says. We are the Word made flesh because it's no more reading. They see it in us.
Written epistles.
We are written epistles.
Amen.
Seen and read of men.
Amen.
Then you now know the rapture taking place because it's what you plant, you come to reap.
Hallelujah.
It's what you sowed, you come to reap.
Hallelujah.
Now, look at generally now what it is termed as the end time message believers, the followers of the ministry of William Branham, since the death of William Branham. And tell me if you see any resemblance with the book of Acts. Show me. If there is anything, go among them. They deny the power. Go among them. It is a one-man show. Pastor.
Alone.
Collecting all the tithes. Alone.
One food ministry.
Go among them. Leprous. The Lord revealed to me the entire message as leprous. He revealed that to me in 1990. This church started in 1998. He showed me that woman that was leprous. Why would he be leprous? Why are you little flocks? Why are you only 20, 30? For years. 20-something years ministry. You see him and his family, they gave birth to them, they gave birth to them and his children.
Family church.
Why? It simply means there's nothing attractive there. And you tell me they don't want the truth. I've come to disprove all of you. People want the truth.
Amen.
Truth, the response they have for
hearing us. Amen. That's right.
But the truth is, people are looking for something that will give them perfection. Something that will be different from the denomination. They run from one, they are entering another one. Okay, how do you feel, you know, when people come to church and then their service that day is a message that was preached in 1962. by William Branham. There were situations he addressed at that time.
Exactly.
My.
There is something that the Holy Ghost too has in addition to that to address us now. What he preached was a guide. That's why he's still raising pastors. That's why he's still raising evangelists.
Amen.
And that's why he's still raising prophets of the fivefold order.
Amen.
So that he can speak to us to address present day problems. The way demons were walking in the days of Apostle Paul is different from the way demons are walking in the from the days of exactly. William Branham.
That's right.
It's different. And the way demons operate in America is different from the way demons operate in Africa. Even in Africa, every country has her spirit.
That's right.
Therefore, in every country, God will raise a standard.
Amen.
To counter that those demons in that country.
Hallelujah.
That is why for every locality, he raises men and women that will stand to withstand the spirit. When the enemy raises like a flood, the Bible says he raises a standard.
Amen.
And there is always a standard. People must understand this.
Amen.
And stop this tape playing. Tape playing, it says, why are you not just coming to open Bible and do Bible reading and close and go? It's the same thing.
True.
But people want to bring this thing down to what is happening now. Yeah. You know, now. So you discover that this is not as I read through the same thing they read through in the ministry of William Branham. All his sermons, I have listened to most of them. The picture I catch is different from the picture they have caught. That is why I say it's misunderstood. Now, there are things that William Branham will say, and some of them will hold on to it literally. While some of us, we know what he meant by saying that. That's why I say it is a love letter.
Amen.
There are some things that are spoken so that some people will not understand it. I believe God allowed him so.
Wow.
Pardon me, sir. For instance, based on the last statement you just made, that William Branham might say something and some you understand it, some other people would literally.
Yeah.
I know something about television that is very controversial in the entire message. Some people believe a Christian should not watch television and they hold on to a quote of William Branham.
Now the same thing I am saying. I said, thank you for bringing that example. Because they did not understand what William Branham was saying or why he was saying what he was saying. As at the time William Branham was preaching in the days of his ministry,
that's right, yes.
Television had just been invented.
That's true.
And it is very interesting to see that you can see pictures, video, live television, and interesting programs. Man generally will be attracted to such.
Sure.
And before you know what, when it's time for people to go to church, they will stay and watch. You know, the devil knows how to plan in these programs. There is what in commercial television known as prime time. You know, either weekends, all weekends are prime time. Or when people have closed from work, they are now home. Just between the time people are reaching home and the time people go to bed. It's prime time. You have more viewership within those hours. And so, some of this prime time at the time that you have your evening service, especially midweek service.
Oh, wow.
And that's the time more interesting programs are taking place. And William Branham fought it. That there is something that can take your attention away so much until you will prefer it to come in to church to worship God. You don't even need William Branham. Every pastor will fight it.
That's right. That's true.
Now, it was, in that time, it was television.
Television.
Now, it's football.
That's right. Very true.
Look, people will close from church. There are some churches that even close early so that they will go and watch one football.
Very true.
One tournament that's going on, World Cup. European, what do you call it?
UEFA
and
Premiership.
You know, well you can see that, you know, I'm so odd, I'm not into all those, and that is the truth. You know, mention one single footballer, I don't know them. You know, maybe the names are here, but to see how they look like, I don't know how they look like. You know, now I am not or movie. You know, I understand, for instance, that somebody was reminding me just about last week or so that that he remembered he accompanied his pastor to a program that was held, a seminar that was held, where I was also to be a speaker, and many end-time-message pastors were there. He said he was shocked to hear me say, I have never watched any movie, complete movie. One, I have never. I don't remember ever watching any movie. He said, when he said, he said, he was shocked, he was surprised. He said, because he's a pastor, that they will travel for programs, and they will be watching movie until it is program time. They will all gather on television for program, for program. Now here am I, you know, when I came into the entire message, the pastor, my pastor, is among those who take William Branham word for word without trying to get what he means. And every time television, every time television. And in the whole of that church, we are not too many, maybe less than 200 members, maybe 100 plus members. So we knew ourselves. And nobody had television, only I and one other brother. So anytime he spoke about television, of course, you know, I knew he's referring to me. I would send a note to him. Sir, you have not convinced me to drop the television. Because I don't joke with current affairs. I was brought up that way. I like to know what is happening everywhere. Documentaries. I like to be educated. Now, how does it affect my Christian life? So you tell me, why should I drop television? Is it the box or the program? So I've always believed that it is the program.
Not the box.
Not the box. The box can be used for anything. So you choose what you want to watch. And keeping the box away, and I also observed all of them who stopped these things, who, you know, stick to these things, that their children go to the neighborhood to sit down secretly and watch television. So what have you achieved? Now, I refused until I left that place, you know. And then an incident happened. An incident happened that, let me use this opportunity to say, because it may help some other people who go to such churches. You know, one day he was preaching and attacking the television. Then I sent a note as usual to him while he was at the altar. I'm sorry, sir, you are still not convinced me. I still keep my television. Now, he was a very dreaded pastor. You know, one of the things they do is to put a posture of fear. They create fear on the people. So he got mad at the pulpit. And the whole sermon changed. He was now attacking and saying a lot of things. Okay, from today, I will not talk about television again. If you like, keep your television. If you like, I have told you the truth. This is the mind of God. In fact, from now on, I will not say anything again about television. If you like, keep it. And that hit me hard. I said, but what if I'm just being stubborn? Let me put this television away. Let this little thing not hinder me going to heaven. Maybe there's something there that I am not seeing from my own self. You know, my heart is made up.
Yeah.
I went home. With all apologies to all the children, everybody in the house, I took the television away, but I didn't throw it away. I hid it in the bedroom so that I can just use it as a monitor. If I have any tape I want to play, I can use it. So my pastor traveled overseas for about a month. So when he came back, because there is no sermon he preaches without mentioning television. High issue. All those, you know, outward appearance of men and women. Then he came back now, as usual, he was preaching his first sermon. And then he started hitting at the television again. Knowing the kind of crowd that we are, he remembered that the last time he said, that he would talk about television again. Then he said, I know. The last time I spoke, I said, I'm not talking about television again. No. The television is part of the gospel. That was man talking that time. I was talking as a man. No, I was talking. I'm talking now. Mm-hmm. So I said, ah. So I carried my Bible, took the first page of my Bible, space there, and I wrote it there. So sometimes man speaks behind the pulpit. Mm-hmm. Lord, help me to know when you are the one talking and it is man talking.
Mm.
In Jesus' name, I put the date there.
Wow.
I went home and took my television back. I said it was man talking. I thought it was God. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
The truth about it is all man's understanding. It's not allowing the Holy Ghost to grant you understanding of what is spoken. Now, time has proved everybody now. That's what we say he's misunderstood.
That's true.
Will Abraham is misunderstood. Mm-hmm. By now, you should have known that Will Abraham was talking about the programs.
Very true, sir.
If not, television has advanced now because this was what Will Abraham made, like that in those days, Christians will not go to a movie.
Mm.
But I can show you quotes that William Branham went to a movie. But I'm not going to that area. He went to watch a movie.
Yes, the Ten Commandments.
Mm-hmm. You saw it now.
That's right.
So, and where did he watch it? In the same place they played those other movies.
Yes.
He went to watch it. And they all know. So even the movie house that was abomination to holiness believer Christians, because of the nonsense they do there, they show there, there was still a good one, the Ten Commandments, that Will Abraham found worth going there to watch.
Yes, sir.
Now the same Will Abraham, you know, here, I mean, see what, you know, science has done now.
Well, that's right.
You know, he said that when they will not go, when Satan saw that Christians will not go to the movie because they are the target, he decided to bring it and put it in their sitting room. Okay. Now, following the thought of Will Abraham, when enter message believers and holiness preachers decided that they will not watch it in their sitting room, using internet, he put it in their pocket. See it here. All of them have it.
Oh, my God.
So this is where their folly has been now made manifest. And because it is not of God, and they themselves don't have the Holy Ghost, they are not humble enough to say, I think I got it wrong. And look at that thing I believe again. And correct. That is what humility does.
That's true.
Because we are men. Well, that was how I understood it. But time has proved different. That it is the program. Television and the internet now. Which one? Television was even regulated.
Of course.
But internet is not regulated.
At all. Yes, sir. You can't even hold it.
And television is put in the sitting room. The whole family can watch.
Together.
Mm-hmm. Now, you don't know what your children are watching in your rooms.
Very true.
You don't know what they are watching on the street going. You don't know what they are doing with their phones. So, and all of them that reject television, they're all on the internet. The question they would have asked is, you know, somebody said that this how do I put it, this carnal people, carnal, very carnal, when somebody is set to go on destruction, that is, they have a thinking pattern. They believe that William Branham should know all things. Therefore, he said, if didn't God know the internet was coming? He knew. And if internet were bad, he would have told the prophet William Branham to warn us.
Wonderful.
Since God didn't tell him, it means internet is good.
Wonderful.
But television is bad.
And television is bad.
Wonderful.
Because God told him.
Wonderful.
You know. So this is where we go. Now the question you may ask is, but didn't God tell William Branham not to keep the television? Now, there are individuals. There are revelations that are given to individuals.
Personally.
Personally. For whatever reason. Why will he tell Samson not to cut his hair? Mm-hmm. And he allow others to cut that. Are they more Israel? Is he more an Israel than the rest? Mm. It's for a purpose.
Amen.
So Samson cannot therefore go and tell everybody, leave your hair if you want to have power. Mm. Do you understand? So we have to think, understand it that way. Mm. Now, you can see, and because they are so blind, they don't know why Satan hijacked that quote and quoted William Branham out of context. When I say out of context, that is the context of what he meant. Mm. It's because the television, like the internet, is the fastest electronic means of evangelism.
That's right.
It's the most effective.
Most effective.
That's now.
Right. That's right, sir.
So all religions are propagating their own. Then you are hiding your own. Then when they say, they begin to hide themselves under some quote of predestination.
Little flock.
Those who will be saved, God will bring them. Can you just imagine that? If God will bring them, then why is he ordaining and anointing evangelism? Mm. Just imagine that. Why are we preaching? Why are we not just sitting down there and he's perfecting us? Why do we need to hear anything? Just the devil just brought these serpent seeds into the message to now make this glorious message that God sent through William Branham to be unattractive. That is that leprous woman that I say God revealed to me in 1990, ever before I came among them. Wow. It is largely misunderstood.
Wow.
Thank you so much, sir. Wow. Please, sir, what's that prayer you wrote on your Bible leaflet again?
I said, man also speaks from the pulpit. Oh Lord, help me to know when man is talking and when you are talking. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh Lord, help us to know when man is talking or when you are talking. On this note, we'll take a short break, and when we come back, you hear God speak to you. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.